tell me that you love me. Yeah.
Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. Still to come, Alan Miller's going to join us. The Regina Pats have a change, a major change coming to the WHL franchise, as Alan Miller is now going to be the head of the Performance of Excellence with Hockey Canada. Of course, Alan went to Hockey Canada after his days in Moose Jaw, helped scout and was kind of the lead for U20 teams, and then he left. He took the job with the Regina Pats a couple of years ago.
It's not going back to the same job, though.
No, they've now up the ante a little bit. They now have
a big general manager thing, so
bigger role, more permanent structure for their program of excellence. So
Alan Miller will be running that. His last 2 years with Hockey Canada, Canada won gold, right? And then he left,
and it didn't
the Americans.
So Alan Miller is going back to Hockey Canada. His roots are in Calgary, where his wife lives, and he goes back and forth, and he scouts all over Western Canada. He's still going to have to do all that, but of course, that main job will be based out of Calgary. So some changes there. Dale Durkach now will take over as general manager, and more moves. Alan Miller will be up at 5:05 to talk about. I'm kind of excited to chat with him about the program of excellence, the changes that he's undertaking at the Hockey Canada level, and also about the future of the Regina Pats. He set them up pretty nicely with some draft
trades. I went to school with his boss, Scott Salmon. We went to high school together. Scott was a great little hockey player. I do have a very I blocked some of these memories out, but Scott was a scrappy player and skated a lot like Tkachuk back in the day. And I do recall playing when I was like 14, 15, 16 years of age in high school, playing a game with him, and I believe Scott beat me up. One of the many hockey players
to beat you up.
I had a bit of mouth on me, and
really?
I know this is shocking information, Jamie.
You chirp people?
I was mouthy on the ice.
Really?
Quite often, people tried to fill my face in.
You were chirpy.
It's shocking.
Yet.
To apologize to absolutely no one.
You take issue with Sam Bennett?
Hold on. Listen, I have said that I think that they've gone too far in the trolling. That's what I've said. There's a certain amount I will allow for it.
This is too much.
Breaking news. Locker was chirpy while playing hockey. Then he had to stop because...
No,
kept
I had
on
to
coming to work with black eyes.
Well, that's why it wasn't the chirping that made me stop. It was the.
Like, did you get another fight?
It became harder and harder to explain.
I love the guys in adult safe hockey, and the most ironic thing is the word safe in adult safe hockey. And they come to work, and it's like, I got into a little tilly last night, did you?
Yeah.
The ones
why?
Okay, it's a beer league. Why are you guys throwing them at a beer league?
The ones I didn't get were the ones in the parking lot.
Guy with a tie and accountant.
Leave it on the ice.
Black eye because he got in a fight in a rec league. Anyways, let's get to the CFL. Luke Wilson lit a fire in the debate with the Canadian Football League. And there's a lot about what's wrong with the CFL and what's wrong with the CFL. We're flipping it today. We're doing a 180. What's good about the CFL? I think there's way too many debates on what's bad with it and what needs to be fixed. But there is a lot that is good about the Canadian Football League. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. What is good about the Canadian Football League? What would you say to Luke Wilson or somebody else who's like, CFL's hot garbage? What do you say to them about what's good about the three-down game?
Well, I'll start with a couple of texts, Jamie. This one came in from Cooper and Watson. The CFL has the Rough Riders enough said. So that's simplistic, but it's valid. Cooper, you're a big fan. This one I like from Kirk. The waggle, the rouge, three downs, the speed of the games, those are the positives. I think that is an excellent way of being positive about the game. I you know what? The one thing that, and this has changed in the NFL recently, Jamie, is the fact that it is becoming more of a quarterback game in recent years. Mm-hmm. But I've always appreciated that. Because of the three downs, you have to get those 10 yards quicker. They took more chances. And then the field was a little bit bigger as well. It created more possibility for offense in the air. I've always appreciated the CFL from that perspective, that it was a quarterback's game.
1-877-332-8255. Kirk does bring up the point. I'm not sure about the rouge, but okay.
Some people like the rouge.
It's the uniqueness. It is unique. It is different. And the differences are what make it great. That's what it is. The kicking game.
The heart.
The return game.
The rouge is hard to defend, but...
Well, you understand the rouge based on the premise of conceding points and et cetera, on how those types of things work. But forget about the rouge. It is a unique game. The return game is special. The no yards, the 5-yard halo on punts to promote a return is good because you get more punt returns. I'm not going to go there. I almost compared it to the NFL. I don't want to make this CFL versus NFL. But there is that uniqueness of it. The 3-down game.
It's more unpredictable.
Absolutely it is.
Which creates more opportunity for offense.
And I know Luke called out the last, you know, was junk ball in the last 2 minutes. The ability to go downfield and score a touchdown on a 6-play drive in a minute, and the other team still has 30 seconds and probably can rattle off 4 or 5 plays, that's good.
Where the NFL just lets the clock run and everybody walks to the middle of the field with 48 seconds left. You know what I'm saying? Like that
drives me berserk. The 40-second clock, you kneel down at 38 seconds, and the coaches are shaking hands, and there's still 20 seconds on the clock.
Yes!
That makes zero sense to me.
How do you call what happened on Friday night, junk ball, when that happens in the NFL?
A way faster, less stupid timeouts, more offense, and of course, the old saying, our balls are bigger. The NFL's too expensive and boring. Affordability. I know there's a lot of people that are going, it's affordability, not anymore. You can go into a Rider game for $25. You can find a ticket for $25. You can. All right? And you don't have to buy the beer, and you don't have to buy the hot dogs, and you don't have to do it. You can go to a game for $25. You can stand on the perch around the side.
Worth being said.
Affordability is a big, big plus for the Canadian Football League.
Well, and the other thing, too, and this came in kind of a roundabout way, and don't let me forget to text this individual back, but we did get somebody commenting, Jamie, about how much the athletes make, NFL versus CFL. It was Eric. Eric had sent in a quick note, and he said, I don't know, there's just something about the fact that these guys aren't making as much money, and you know that the players on the field in the CFL are doing it because they love the game. I'm not suggesting that the guy that's making $17 million a year in the NFL doesn't love the game, but there is something to be said about somebody that sacrifices a regular job in the world to play in the CFL?
Well, it's a passion for the game. And there's the drive. And yes, it's a drive to get back to the NFL. It is. That's why Americans come up here to continue their career, that maybe they can get some film and maybe get a callback in the National Football League. And then they show up and they go, damn, this is fun. These fans are crazy. I'm getting paid pretty good work. I'm got a name now. People are recognizing me in the community. And they get that little taste of what they desire from the NFL in Canada. And then, to make it even better, there's guys like Belton Johnson who stay here. Wes Cates, they American guys. They come up. They stay here. A player like Milt Stegall, and yes, he lives in Georgia, but he feels a connection to this country, and it's their second home.
100%.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Tell us something good about the Canadian Football League in a week where we've talked a lot about what needs to change. Crystal does love the rouge. It's unique to the game and kind of like how society is now. Oh, darn, you missed a field goal, but here's a point for trying.
I never thought of it that way.
But it is.
The waggle's coming in quite a bit.
The waggle in the National Football League, just as I'm comparing it based on the rules.
You're allowed to move one, right?
You can't move toward the line of scrimmage. You can go side to side.
And only one guy can go?
Nope, they changed that. Now you can have more.
You can have more than one guy moving as long as they're not
approaching this. Going to the direct to the line of scrimmage.
And is there a limit in the CFL to the number of guys that can be?
You have to have your seven along the line.
Yeah.
You have to have those seven. The quarterback, of course.
So
that's
run,
eight.
So you can run
four. So you have four guys who can run directly, full tilt, full speed toward the line, which helps the offense.
Creates more unpredictability.
Absolutely.
Which creates more possibility for offense.
1-877-332-8255. The players, Boots says they're humble. Play for the love of the game. They love to be involved in the community. Always have time for a fan, young and old. Often they start planting roots. Love that aspect of the Canadian Football League. We're asking you to tell us something good about the CFL on a Tuesday afternoon here on the Green Zone. Couple of rider notes to get to as well coming up, including what's wrong with Trevor Harris? Didn't practice. He's on the injury report with an illness / head injury. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We're asking you to tell us something good about the Canadian Football League.
Chris from Warman. I like that the lead can change four times in the last 2 minutes of play. That's true. That's why I was confused by Luke's tweet. He was calling out that game is junk ball. I love that about the CFL. You cannot walk away from the game. There's a 14-point lead. That is not a guaranteed win. That is not a guaranteed win.
That's why we yelled out part-time fans in the university section at the old Taylor Field when people were leaving with like 5 minutes left in a 10-point game. Part-time fan. Part-time fan. It was one of our favorite chants in that university section. No alcohol consumed, of course. But there is some news. Rough Riders. No Trevor Harris today at Rider practice.
Dealing with a little bit of an infection, kind of played through that. And then also he took a pretty good shot in the game. So we're just honestly just playing it kind of smart and kind of just look at that. But he's fine. You know, he's one of those kind of, you know, pushing me to do it. I say, hey, just relax. Let's just, you know, yeah. No, he'll be fine.
Battle of the backups on Saturday, potentially?
Well, I just saw some footage of Nathan Rourke practice in BC. It looked like he was still throwing tight, a little gingerly with Jeremiah Masoli with the oblique injury. So could happen that it's Jeremiah Masoli against Jake Mayer on Saturday, but more to watch at Rider practice. Of course, day two of the workout week is tomorrow. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill. The latest in sports. The Hockey Hall of Fame made their calls today. New inductees: Duncan Keith, Zdeno Chara, Joe Thornton, all first ballot Hall of Famers. Someone who's been waiting way too long for the call got it today. Alexander McGillney got the call. He's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, as did women's stars Jennifer Botterill and Brianna Decker. Montreal goaltender Carey Price did not get his call to the Hall in his first time on the ballot. Thousands of basketball fans in Oklahoma City celebrated with Canadian great Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was draped in a Canadian flag, though it sounds like Shai's coming home to Hamilton probably as soon as tomorrow to celebrate with friends and family. And the Blue Jays back on the road tonight. They kick off a three-game set against the Cleveland Guardians. Coming up next, as Don Cherry said goodbye on his podcast, we ask you, what is Don's legacy? 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The Grapevine with Don Cherry. The podcast has been going on for a couple of years since Don was booted from Hockey Night in Canada on Remembrance Day. You'll remember that infamous moment.
2019. I had to look it up. I'm like, how long has he been off of Hockey Night in Canada? It can't be that long. It's only been a couple of years. 2019.
He was 85 years old when he made the You People
91 Honey. Right now.
He is 91 years old, and on the weekend, well, Sunday, Monday night, they posted a podcast that ended like this with he and his son, Tim.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313th.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many?
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and toodaloo.
So it was posted as Don Cherry says goodbye in final podcast. Joe Warmington, who's a very dear friend to Don, if there's a story that comes out about Don Cherry, there is one person Don will talk to, and that is Joe from the Toronto Sun. And so Joe reached out, talked to Don. Don said, no, that was just the end of the season podcast. But his son, Tim, has stated to the Canadian press that he does not foresee any more episodes coming for Grapevine with he and Don Cherry. He believes that was the last podcast. Now, he did add, if Connor McDavid gets traded to the Maple Leafs, I'm sure Dad will want to do a podcast about it. But for the regular weekly podcast, Tim does not believe there will be any more Grapevine with Don Cherry. So we're asking you today, what is the legacy of Don? 1-877-332-8255. When you look back at his broadcasting legacy, coaching, of course, the Boston Bruins, his one game played in the National Hockey League in his playing career, pretty good minor hockey league player, of course, in his playing career. What's the legacy of Don Cherry? It is an interesting case because years ago, CBC did the greatest Canadians of all time. You remember it was a poll.
2004, 2005?
Yeah, it was about 20 years ago. And they polled the country. And it was a whole show, and they unveiled it as it came out. Tommy Douglas was number one. Terry Fox was number two. I'm not going to talk about who number three. It'll just derail the entire conversation.
I got a funny story about that. That list.
You do. Don Cherry was number seven. He beat Wayne Gretzky.
Not surprising to me.
Now, today, he should beat Wayne Gretzky. But what's the legacy of Don? 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. Do you still consider Don Cherry, as he was 20 years ago, among the greatest Canadians ever? Who's seven on that list? Let's go to the fan line right now. Dave, what's the legacy Don Cherry leaves behind as he says goodbye on what his son says is likely the final podcast?
Well, two things. There's many things that you could say about him, but I was actually just thinking while I was on hold about the you know that famous picture he had with that first black hockey player. Can't remember the guy.
Willie O'Ree.
That guy. Yeah. So I always remember that. But what I think is his legacy is his representation of the game, and his representation of supporting the military. His representation of, you know, his suits, his community work,
his personality
to talk like a normal person in broadcasting, something that we don't really see anymore like that. He's an outspoken broadcaster, and he's just a huge proponent of the game. And I think that is his legacy. He's probably one of the best that's ever done it. And I think that's his representation. It's probably his legacy.
And you as someone else pointed this out, Dave, on those types of points. I forgot. I don't know why. It was the marquee was the suits. We didn't even bring it up in the first hour of the show. The suits.
Yeah.
And what's he wearing today was not as interesting, but it was part of his lore. It was part of his character. That's what he was to us who watched Hockey Night in Canada as religiously as we did. He was the guy. He was the man of Hockey Night in Canada.
For me, this conversation gets mirrored in the... Does anybody think that Don was racist?
There is many columns written.
I never... When he made that comment, and you can debate on whether he should or shouldn't have gotten let go, and was it all about money? Was it a too woke society? Whatever it is, we get lost in that conversation. The thing that bothers me about this, and the frustrating thing about this for me, was he had certain views, and he was controversial. And he said things he shouldn't have said on television.
He was an 85-year-old on television.
But I never, never, even after it happened, thought that Don Cherry was a racist. And that was the thing that frustrated me the most, is because it was easy to put him in that box. Now, I'm not saying that what he did was right or wrong. I'm not saying that. They made the decision they made because he wouldn't apologize. And that is unfortunately part of the legacy. And this conversation that we've had today about Don Cherry and the text that we got immediately after we started talking about it.
All goes to that point in time.
Yes, and that's the problem with this conversation.
2019, it is that point in time. It is that his legacy on how he left Hockey Night in Canada with his comments on really the immigrant population in downtown Toronto not wearing the poppy. Henceforth, they don't respect our military, and all they do is come here for the milk and honey, which is the words that he used. And that's someone called up. He's an 85-year-old guy born in the 30s who was on national television, who would say things at the dinner table. Kids would be like, "Dad, you can't say that." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I shouldn't."
Jamie,
sorry.
I think that's part of the reason why everyone gets so caught up in this conversation, and we get lost in this because we keep trying to direct it one way and it keeps going back. The first thing Dave wanted to do was bring up a picture of Don Cherry with the first black player in the NHL. Right? We all want to forgive him for that, for his And I think that's part of the reason why he didn't want to apologize, is because he wasn't trying to be racist. He was bringing up something that he observed. He went about it the wrong way, and he got in trouble for it.
And he wouldn't apologize.
85-year-old stubbornness wouldn't allow him to, and you can respect him for that. You are allowed to respect him for the decision he made not to apologize. It cost him his career, and it cost him a big part of his legacy.
Tom in Saskatoon. Well, what's the legacy of Don Cherry? His son says they doubt there's going to be another Grapevine podcast with Don.
He's saying more about, yeah, anyway.
Tom, what do you think?
Well, I think Don Cherry was a entertainer.
Was he ever? Yes.
And he was also a risk taker. And because of his knowledge base within hockey, it was a valued risk taker. And what he did, I truly believe, given his era, when being opinionated outside of the norm was frowned upon in most of his career. I believe what his work did as a legacy is open the door for a lot of today's broadcasters and those broadcasters from, you know, the early 2000s onward, maybe, opened the door for them to be welcomed as being opinionated, as having an opinion of value.
That's an interesting point, Tom. And that's a great point. You look at the broadcasters now, the Stephen A. Smiths and all that stuff. Don Cherry was doing what they were doing long before they were doing it.
Tom, can I put a finer point on it? Because I think Tom brings up a very good point, but I think it needs to be a little tighter. We need to say he was unapologetically himself.
Yes.
And that is something that was new to broadcasting, and he introduced that, not just to Canada, but to, you know, to North American.
Well, you saw when ESPN and stuff started doing hockey rights, they're bringing Don on their networks because they're like, this guy's awesome. Let's get that Canadian guy with the suits on.
He wasn't trying to be anybody other than himself. He wasn't trying to mimic somebody that he grew up watching. He was just, Don was Don.
Terry, what are you thinking about on the legacy of Don Cherry?
Hey, Jamie. Well, to use one of your references, I put him on my Mount Rushmore of Canadian hockey broadcasters. Like, he broke trail for how many guys? And, well, personally, I would value his opinion a hell of a lot more than this greasy-haired football guy.
Terry, Mount Rushmore Canadian hockey broadcasters.
Thank you, Terry.
That's an automatic.
We needed that today.
I was like, what? Bob Cole, Harry Neal, Don Cherry. Ooh. There'd be a whole lineup of others to get that third spot.
You put Ron up there?
No, we're not doing that today. There would be those who would put Ron McLean on that. Yes. I don't think it would be Don Cherry's right anymore, that's for sure. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Don, well, here's an interesting point. Don, what do you think needs to happen with Don Cherry?
Don Cherry made Hockey Night in Canada what it was. I haven't watched a game past the first intermission since Don quit. He should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. If anybody should be, he made the hockey very interesting.
Well, there are broadcasting wings to the Hockey Hall of Fame, or you could put him in as a builder.
Oh, he's a builder for sure.
I just don't think they'll ever do it.
Oh, they will. They will.
Are they gonna do what they, what was it, Pat Burns?
Yeah.
Let's put him in after he dies?
Yeah.
I was so ticked off at the Hockey Hall of Fame. It was clear Pat Burns was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And they waited the year after he died to put him in. He was eligible. They could have put him in 2 years before after his diagnosis, but nope. Didn't want to rush on the sanctity of this just because he's sick. Nope. Let's wait. I hope that doesn't happen with Don Cherry.
You know it's going to. It's exactly how this plays out.
1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Hey, Locker. Do you know what tonight is?
Tuesday?
It's a perfect night to go watch a baseball game. Our game of the night.
Local baseball.
Game of the night, the Saskatoon Berries, Regina Red Sox. Curry Field in Regina tonight. Country night, apparently.
Okay.
So there you have it. It's the Berries and the Red Sox, two of the best teams in the East, going head-to-head tonight. 7 o'clock, first pitch, Curry Field. It is the rivalry of the Highway 11 with the Berries and the Sox. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. No Trevor Harris at practice today. Listed on the injury report with a head and illness, like a head injury and an illness. So maybe a little bit of a concussion from a big hit has suffered potentially, although Corey Mace wouldn't call it concussion protocol at practice today. Meanwhile, Keyshawn Johnson also didn't practice. That's personal reasons. Sam Emelis, they now list as week to week with a lower body injury. And in BC, their opponent on Saturday, Nathan Rourke, split the reps with Jeremiah Masoli today. So maybe a battle of the backups. Hockey Hall of Fame announcement came in. Joe Thornton, Zdeno Chara, Duncan Keith, all first ballot Hall of Famers. Alexander Mogilny finally got the call to the hall today. And coming up next, big news with the Regina Pats. Alan Miller, the now former general manager, will join us about his new gig with Hockey Canada and his vision for the Pats and how he thinks things will go with Dale Durkach taking over as general manager. We'll talk to Al next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.